Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light, the word of the Lord. Thanks to our rejection of God's image, which is to reflect his holiness, it can be said that ever since the fall of our first parents in the Garden of Eden, we have been walking in darkness. Every man and every woman ever born have inherited the natural desire and instinct to go against God's law, his holy law, that we should love him with our whole heart and love our neighbors as ourselves. That's darkness, to live unenlightened by God's holy word and to belong to the kingdom of darkness, that is, to belong to the kingdom of the adversary, the devil. All of us are conceived and born into that dark kingdom and are absolutely guilty of being unholy and without any righteousness with which to stand before the holy and righteous God who created us. This darkness manifests itself in how depraved our culture and society is, and how depraved we act within that world. We walk in darkness as we struggle with temptations to sin. We fall into coveting and lusting and idolatries of all kinds, in abuse of those around us, and in abuses done to us. Walking in the dark produces nothing but a guilty, stung conscience, and nowhere to seemingly get out of the dark pit of despair and gloom. But into the night comes a light on the matter. Isaiah preaches a Christmas sermon some 750 years before our Lord's birth. God says that there will be a time when the darkness will give way. The people who once walked in darkness have seen a great light, Isaiah says. On them the light has shone. He talks as if it's a done deal. If you've ever thought that God gives no thought or care for you, or the darkness you find yourself in these days, you need to look no further than this promise given, guaranteed through the prophet, and then the promise was kept. On this holy night in Bethlehem, some 2,000 years ago, suddenly, it's not so bad to be in the dark because God's light shines. The prophet tells us of a nation that rejoices as if they've been brought in a great harvest, or as if they are dividing the spoil of a great military victory, since they've seen a great light, and indeed a battle has taken place. The light has overcome the darkness. The yoke of Satan and his oppressive burden has been broken. We should think that would be a cosmic, epic, heroic battle story between two great armies with great strength of force brought to bear, maybe like the scenes you saw in the Lord of the Rings movies. The forces of light led by a larger-than-life superhero of unparalleled strength and knowledge. But no, the breaking of Satan and his kingdom of darkness, the redemption of a new Israel of every believer will be as, quote, on the day of Midian, unquote, as when Gideon, the judge, broke the 7 years' dominion of the Midianites, not with a great army, but with a handful of resolute warriors, strong in the Lord. The Lord will shine his great light and cause the victory, just as he did for Gideon and his torch-wielding band of 200 or so men who broke pottery, blared trumpets, and scared the Midianites into killing each other. The Lord will shine his great light and cause a victory from what is apparently to our human eyes something very weak, lowly, something that does not inspire a lot of confidence, at least not to the world's eyes. So what is this great light the people in darkness see? What brings about such a victory and all the rejoicing? Isaiah is not preaching about the so-called Christmas star that was formed by aligning Saturn and Jupiter from our viewpoint in the night sky a few nights ago. There is no sign in the stars like that. Isaiah sees and proclaimed the great light this way: "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given." A newborn baby, the one called Son of God. He is the great light revealed. Oh, there was a star in the night sky over Bethlehem. But Jesus is the light. The baby is the light. He first revealed his sacred face this night in the Bethlehem stable so many years ago, when it came to pass in those days, when mighty Caesar Augustus and his grand census of the whole world had moved Joseph and Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem, because this child born, this son given, was David's son and David's Lord, of David's house and line, and David's home city is Bethlehem. He had to be born there. And of the increase and of his government and of peace, there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish and uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this, Isaiah promises. All from a little baby. It was a sure thing that God would break Satan's darkness with the birth of his son in human flesh to a lowly virgin maiden in a lonely dark stable in nowhere Bethlehem. Isaiah has already said in another Christmas sermon that he gave that the virgin would conceive and bear a son and would call his name Emmanuel. That child is the newborn king of David's line, and he is wonderful. Counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And his reign will never end. Now, looking in as an outsider, the child in the Bethlehem manger looks so weak, so bleak. All of this is God's eternal plan. God does not send a conquering heroic figure from on high. He sends the child born, the son given, to be the great light. The God who directed the census and the taxation and the travels of Mary and Joseph is the God who became a baby in the virgin's womb. The God who directs the orbit of the world and the falling of the snow is the God who cried out for his mother's milk while laying on hay, the food of animals. All the glory of man retreats in the face of God's glory. Just think how afraid the shepherds were when they saw the mere reflection of God's glory from the angels in the night sky. Yet the child born, the son given, Prince of Peace, King to rule, lies humble in the manger and willingly hides his glory at the same time. He chooses to come to us almost in a disguise. In fact, had the shepherds not been given the sign of swaddling clothes in the manger, they would have looked in vain and never found the child. But they did, and they rejoiced as people who have been given a great harvest, the spoil of a great victory over an ancient enemy. They couldn't contain themselves. They had to go and tell everyone what had happened. But the shepherds probably couldn't imagine how the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, would ultimately accomplish this victory. Again, it would be like on the day of Midian, in weakness and foolishness to the world, as the Apostle Paul reminds us in his letter to the Corinthians, as foolish as a miraculous virgin birth in a Bethlehem stable. More so, the child born, the son given, came to give himself over to die on a cross. He who knew no sin became sin and willingly entered our darkness for us when darkness covered the land on Good Friday as he hung on Calvary's cross. There, sin, death, and the power of the devil, the kingdom of darkness, was overcome and defeated. For Jesus the Savior, Emmanuel, the child born, the son given, the light of the world, had lived and died innocently without sin, and he did it for you, and he did it in your place so that you wouldn't have to go through that darkness. That's how zealous the Lord of hosts was to accomplish your salvation from the kingdom of darkness, that you would be redeemed from walking in the dark and brought alive into his marvelous light. Still living out dark days? You have dark times? You have dark thoughts? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, dear Christian. Don't be afraid of your sins. They cannot claim you or condemn you. Don't be afraid of failing. Don't be afraid of suffering. Don't be afraid of losing. And don't be afraid of dying. Don't be afraid of anything in all creation. For on you, light has shined. You've been baptized into that light and given the light of the world in you. The victory for you has been won, for Jesus is born for you, lived for you, died for you, and rose from the grave for you. And the angel declares him to be what he is, Christ the Savior. There is peace on earth, goodwill toward you and all men. He means you no harm. He rules the world with truth and grace, and he rules you in a very humble way by preaching to you his good news, just as he has had it preached to the shepherds, and by baptizing you into his kingdom of light and life, and by feeding you his body and blood cloaked humbly under bread and wine. That's how he rules and loves you and makes you a part of his kingdom of light. If God were your enemy, he would not come to you in such a humble way. God comes to you in humility to take away your burden from you, and it is only in humility that you can receive him. Bow down before the child of Bethlehem. See in him your God, your Savior, your eternal King of light and life. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.